Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road later this hour. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll look ahead to the Titans and the Cleveland Browns with him. So that's going up a little bit later in the show. Taking your thoughts in the meantime at 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in David to the program. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. I actually did watch the John Gruden playoff scenario, and I liked it. He was pretty much saying that he don't understand why they're having the conference championships, but if they do, that's fine. He said, but why are the other teams like Ole Miss and Oklahoma and these other people sitting at home getting a bye? He said that would be like the Rams and the Bears having the two best records playing each other, and all the other people in the playoffs getting a bye, getting the rest of their players. He said, have the conference championship, the top six teams, whether you win or lose, you get in. He said, but then people like Ole Miss and these other teams that's not playing, like Ole Miss would play Tulane, and then whoever's next would play like SMU or whatever. And he said, and the winner goes home. They're out of the playoffs. He said, the people are talking about who gets in, Miami or Notre Dame. He said, you have them play each other, the winner's out. I mean, the winner's in. He also said, I'd have Texas A&M playing Vanderbilt, and the winner's in. And he said, as far as Virginia Duke, he said, Virginia wins, they're in. He said if Duke wins, then the team that's got the highest ranking that's not in, they get to get in instead of Duke.
Yeah, it's interesting. David, I appreciate the call. Like, just in hearing that, Joe, it's like, why would Texas A&M want to do something like that? Right?
That's the one that jumps out. They're like, wait a minute, why do we have to play a game? We're in.
Yeah. Like, I mean, well, just in general, like, look, I understand the idea of the conference championship game. Now, technically, if you win it, like, you know, if Georgia wins this weekend, well, then they're going to get a bye coming up, right? So you're not really playing an extra game at that point. But, like, what if you're one of these teams that loses the conference championship game that you're still in, but then you got to go play the conference championship game, you lose the conference championship game, and then you're playing again on the first week of the playoff. Like, that's when it becomes a real pain in the butt. I mean, you've got the opportunity to win the conference championship game. And I know they don't just seed it straight up that way anymore. But at least, like, if you're a team like Georgia and you win this weekend, you're not having to play in that first round. But, yeah, like, the timing of it all is flawed. And, frankly, they should probably start the playoff quicker than they do.
Yeah, the playoff, I mean, one of many problems with the playoff, one is, again, we're going to sit here this year and we're going to watch the quarterfinals and say, man, last weekend was really awesome when they were at campuses, and now here we are. There's one problem. Another problem is the calendar has to change. You can't – I mean, there's all kinds of issues with the calendar, as we see with, the Kiffin thing and everything. But the playoff going until late January, you have to move, to me, maybe the whole season up.
Yeah.
But – yeah, this is, I mean, this weekend should be some level of starting the playoff. But again, the problem with, if I heard the caller right there, I mean, we just mentioned Duke. If Gruden is saying we're doing this by standings, that you can't do it, because I promise you, we're going to get locked into teams even in those that should not be there, and teams that should that won't be. So, like it or not, even that situation, to me, has to be the committee has to be involved in that, so we don't have a freaking Duke with a chance here. I'm sorry, but, like, you know, like, Duke, they played a terribly weak league schedule. They have five losses. They're not good. But because of their league schedule and stupid tiebreakers, they're in this position. This is going to happen over and over again if we count on standings with 18 and 16 team leagues. So as long as that, as everybody can agree on that, that's not going to work, then some iteration of this, it's better than what we have this weekend.
Well, the other part of this is, like, you've got a 12-team playoff right now, And the what the caller's talking about is basically like extending that out. It's like, so why, like if I'm Texas A&M, like you could have the, if I'm Texas A&M, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, well, you guys can sit here and argue about whether or not Texas should be in the playoff with their three losses, or Vanderbilt or BYU or whoever. We're not a part of that. Like, we should be in the playoff. Have you seen what we've done this year? Like, so I'm not, if I'm like a team like Texas A&M, don't include me in like those bubble conversations. Like Ole Miss, I understand Ole Miss lost their coach, but like Ole Miss, like the debate right now is not really between Ole Miss and Texas A&M and some of these other one-loss teams that may not end up being top seeds, but they're squarely in the playoff. And if they're having to sit here and play against like Vanderbilt to get in, like to me, those are not the same things. Like if you want to have play-in games on the, like the actual bubble, and I'm talking 10, 11, 12, 13 in that neighborhood, then I can have that conversation. If I'm like a 7 seed right now, I'm like, screw you. I'm not playing in that.
Right. And to the point there with Gruden, which apparently he made, which I mean, it's a good point. It's like, look, the playoff has become everything. I don't want it to get massive. Okay. And I guess you could, if you're going to do something like this, really, it's a, then what is it? So we're going up to, it's a, I guess it's at least a 16.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, but okay, fine. I mean, I kind of figured it's going to go to 16 anyways. Okay, well, then the top teams should all get the benefit of rest, just like in the NFL, right? I mean, these are actually, this is the word bye and how it actually applies in the actual world. The word works here. You should get byes if you're one of the best teams. And so, yeah, like this weekend should be the team. So I would absolutely be here for, and I know the teams would too. You know, again, Vanderbilt, Miami, Notre Dame, Texas, Utah, USC. Okay, yeah. For example, I guess USC would be the next one in there, right? Now, then it's like, so is that? I mean, Gruden said you can still have the championship games, but like again, like so why did Georgia and Alabama get penalized, you know, for playing that game? I mean it sucks, but like I think these conference championships have been so devalued that I think you just say, okay, well, you just happen to have the best record, so here's your banner and let's do the playoff.
Yeah, I mean the bottom line in all of this is the conference championship games in this new system have become an annoyance. That's what it is. Like conference championship games have become an annoyance. Now, if it's your team, like Indiana's a good example, and you've not won in a while, then you care about it, and that's fine. And yep. Look, like if Tennessee got in the SEC championship game and been there in a long time, they haven't won one since 1998, yeah, I would care about it. But in general, like the college football community at large, it has become basically an annoyance and an old way of doing things in the old system that just frankly doesn't really line up all that much with the way that college football is now.
Exactly. So, yes, I mean, I'm glad we have Ohio State Indiana because I want to see them play. We might not have seen them play otherwise. I want to see that game. I'm excited for it. And I think Indiana is excited for this opportunity. But, yeah, I think way more often than not, it's going to be, oh, God. Yeah, I'm again, like Lane Kiffin, for as much as he lies, you know, habitually, he did say the truth a few weeks ago. He's like, I don't want to be in the conference championship
game.
Yeah,
exactly.
No thanks. I don't want to go get beat up in that game. No, I don't want to be Georgia and get my quarterback knocked out for the playoff. No. And that's the problem, and they have to deal with it. Hey, I got a really important question, Robbie, and honestly, like I think we need to address this and I'm dumb for not having the answer. Jim says, those hourly intros, it says great shot. And I think it says engage, right? What is that? I don't know what it is. Great shot, engage. What is that?
Slingshot, engage. It's from Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby.
Slingshot, engage. What part of the movie was that?
Oh, it's they're racing, and you know John C. Reilly's out there. They do the slingshot. They slingshot around each other.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
I had no idea this whole time.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I got a ghost runner on second.
Yeah. Let's quickly head back to our phone line. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, this is going to sound stupid, but then it's going to point back to the whole deal with the way they've got this stuff going. Texas beat Texas A&M, right?
Yeah.
All right, according to the head-to-head, they should be ranked ahead of Texas A&M, right?
No, because you can't – the head-to-head doesn't just overtake everything. Huh?
Yeah. They're ranked ahead of Vanderbilt because they beat them head-up.
Well, it's
and
a,
they got
it's
a losing
a...
record, worst record.
Right. So
That's my point.
No, but I understand what you're saying. But listen, head-to-head does not overwhelm everything. Obviously, like, again, I know basketball's way different, but, like, in basketball, all kinds of head-to-head, whatever. Like, they play a lot more games.
But I mean, what you're saying, though, is they choose to pick who they want to use it. Notre Dame and Miami. Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame, right?
Well, yeah, they didn't, very well could end up being ahead of Notre Dame.
They didn't. Well, no one has said that the head-to-head of Texas is why.
Well, I mean, but they pick and choose which ones they want to use it on and to do their argument. And then the ones that they don't, they just kind of slip them under the rug. This whole the whole committee, the way they got this set up is I'm not sure they know what they're doing.
Well, I think thank you for the call, Tim. I think that that's beyond fair, like in terms of the explanations that are given are stupid. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we talk about that all the time. Some of the explanations, the set of criteria that they list for one situation somehow magically change when it's a different situation. And that's not just a this year thing. It's been that way the whole time with the College Football Playoff Committee.
Agree. So I agree with that in general. I will say just on that particular point with they never said Texas head-to-head over Vanderbilt. That's why they're ahead. The reason, I mean, yes, they did beat Vanderbilt. That's a data point. Also, they beat Oklahoma badly. Now, Mateer was just back from injury. They also just beat Texas A&M. I mean, those three wins are technically better than any of Vanderbilt's. They also have the bad loss to Florida. So, you know, it gets into – it's very close, but it's not just like that was because of the head-to-head. Like, they're going out of their way to tell us that head-to-head, you know, they don't try to judge that until it's like splitting the tiniest of hairs.
Yeah, 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. We will get into the Charles Robinson conversation coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday, come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Browns. Pregame show brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. I have the Rex Rant coming up here in about 25 minutes, so make sure you are ready for that. Joe Rexford, Paul Kuharski, broke it down with Charles Robinson yesterday on the program. And obviously, Titans are looking for a head coach. A lot of interesting names swirling out there and some more that could be on the way. Joe, what did we uncover yesterday with Charles Robinson?
Yeah, well, I think that there's – with Charles, his discussion, he mentioned the Ben Roethlisberger podcast.
Yeah.
Does he have his own? Was he on somebody's podcast? I don't know.
He does one.
Okay. What's that called?
I don't know. I can't keep up with all these podcasts.
Big Ben's Buddies? I don't know.
Sure. Okay. If it's not called that, then that's what it should be now.
Big Ben and Buddies?
Yeah.
So he's talking – shoot, he's talking Tomlin, time to move on and – go to Penn State. Looks like Matt Campbell might be getting the Penn State job. But
footballing with Ben Roethlisberger. He spells
footballing.
Ballin'. B-A-H-L-I-N.
Yeah.
Why?
You're asking questions I don't know the answer to.
Why would it be spelled like that?
Maybe because it's saying it like a true Pittsburgh guy. I don't know.
Yins. Ballin. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, we talked with Charles, and look, you can tell from Charles, and let me play it a little bit here, that he's more embracing. I mean, we talked about Tomlin thing a few weeks ago, and I think that it was kind of like, yeah, come on, right? And I think maybe it's still there with like a John Harbaugh, but I think with Tomlin, again, more of like a mutual thing than the Steelers are going to fire him. I think you got a real discussion here at this point.
TK, I don't have any lined ownership. Like, straight up, I don't. Yeah. I know Ben's close to ownership. That, to me, is always sort of one of those lights that goes off in my head when he says something that would be related to a big move that ownership makes. It feels to me like it felt when we got to the end with Andy Reid in Philly. That's how it feels to me, where you're just like, I know this guy's a good coach, but coaches will tell you your messages go stale at some point. Like, sometimes change is what's needed.
For both sides.
Yeah, for both sides. Yeah. You just need to refresh it.
That was Charles Robinson on with Joe and PK yesterday. Now, Joe, Tomlin has been the coach in Pittsburgh since 2007. He was 35 years old when he took the job. It's 2025. He's been there for a long time. We know Pittsburgh, right? I mean, what, have they had three coaches in the history of their franchise? Like, it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do.
Or three since, yeah, three since, like, 1969.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, like, it's the run that he's been on there has been a very long one, a very good one. They're always competitive, right? I mean, but it has been a long time since they've done any damage in the playoffs. So, number one, I'm interested to see if they make the playoffs this year. Number two, if they don't, could this finally be the time? And let's say he does shake free. And let's say, for sake of this argument, Joe, that he would have interest in the Tennessee Titans. If you're a Titans fan, would he immediately move to the top of your board? Like, is Mike Tomlin your guy at that point? What do you think?
Well, we've been sitting here talking about culture coaches. Yeah, I mean, unless there's one of the offensive play calling coaches that you have decided, like, again, I don't know what they're talking about, who they're talking to, you know, unless you get really enamored with a less proven, because I can't, like, there's nobody on in that. Well, I guess McCarthy and Nagy, I mean, those guys are, they are more proven. They have done it. Unless you happen to just think that's what you need, not doing this OC dancing game, and Cam needs the guy who's going to fit the whole scheme around Cam and all that stuff. Yeah, but that's, to me, we'd still be like, what? No, Tomlin's your number one. he'd be my number one. Yes. And again, we're sitting here talking about, yeah, Robert Saleh, you know, culture coach, and maybe he can, you know, maybe the Jets thing wasn't on him. Well, I know that Mike Tomlin is a good coach. I understand Steelers fans are disillusioned. They're sick of just being okay. And clearly, whatever his role is, like, they have not figured out quarterback. You know, it got old for Ben, right? Down the stretch there, Ben was – he was struggling, and then obviously they have not been able to effectively address it. So you could take that off his plate, or you could give him some of the blame. The reality is that's a huge thing for them. And also, I just think they got some other great players. They've had great players, obviously, on the defense side of the ball, but they're old now too. Like, they're an old team. So but I get it. Steelers fans want to blame Tomlin. I'm sure that, like, it's fair to put some blame on him, right? I mean, you have to put some blame on him. I think it's insane that you would have this long of a tenure in the NFL without having a losing season. Go look at the great coaches in this league. They have downturns and all that stuff. So there's some things he does that I think are astounding, really. But, yeah, look, I think he should be at the top of the Titans list if he's available. I think he'd be at the top of a lot of lists if he's available. And the Titans probably wouldn't be at the top of his list.
I would agree with all that. I would say this. Yes, I would be interested in Mike Tomlin. I mean, full stop. If I were the Titans and he became available, I would be interested in Mike Tomlin. You know, having said that, I mean, there are some things that have happened with them, you know, fairly recently that I'd want to talk to him about, right? Like, you know, they did draft Kenny Pickett. So, like, how involved were you with that? I would assume pretty involved, because that's a pretty bad decision.
He practiced on the same practice field. You saw him every day.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that's a big whiff.
Well, there's that. I mean, look, and I understand that one of these guys is its own special set of circumstances, but you have had some receivers roll through there that have just been absolutely, like, borderline crazy, right? Like, Antonio Brown is nuts. You know, George Pickens, they couldn't handle, and he's gone off to Dallas. Now, we'll see, as George Pickens goes along here, what that looks like. And, you know, he's having a really good year. He also is up for a new contract, so I'm aware of all that. And, look, there are some games, there are some decisions. I know Steelers fans, if you talk to them, there are some in-game decisions that he'll make sometimes that reminds you that it's 2000. It's almost like, I'm not going to say it's Mike McCoy. Like, he punted a couple of weeks ago, with like 2 minutes and 3 seconds left with a 2 minute warning, and they were down by a score, and they were all just screaming, like all the Steelers fans were. It's like, what are you doing? It's 2025. Go. So like, he's not perfect.
Sure.
So there's a reason that, you know, some Steelers fans have become disillusioned with it. Having said all that, yeah, I'd be interested in Mike Tomlin if I were the Titans.
Yeah, he's a defensive guy. He is, I think, the more of that mindset for sure. And so that infuriates people. It's funny because now I'm sitting here last night, Dan Campbell never goes for it on fourth down. Punts on fourth and two. Dan Campbell? Maybe are we slingshotting back to that now in the NFL?
Maybe.
But no, I get it. In-game stuff and all that. I mean, that's all fair for sure. So, I just think it's probably just one of those things where I think the Andy Reid comparison that Charles made, that's a great comparison. Yep. You know, now the difference, Tomlin has won one, but it was a long time ago. Reid never quite won it, and it's just like, okay, now, there was still like, can he ever win it vibes with him. Tomlin has won it, but it's the same thing. It's like, you know what, you're going to be coveted if you go out there, you find yourself a good spot, we'll move on, and it's just better for both parties.
615-737-1025, our phone number. If Mike Tomlin became available, would he become your number one target if you're the Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week is the Bengals taking on the Bills at noon on 1025 The Game. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in Macero in 12 South. We'll have the Rex Rant coming up at 745. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll look ahead to the Titans and the Browns with him. Throwing it out there, we heard Charles Robinson talk about it yesterday, that maybe kind of feels like with Mike Tomlin, the Andy Reid part of this as he ended his time with Philadelphia. And, you know, Philadelphia rebounded after that. Obviously, Andy Reid rebounded after that. So it worked out well, I guess, for both of them in the aftermath of that. But, you know, Tomlin has been there in Pittsburgh since 2007. It's been a while since they were a threat in the playoffs. You know, he has won a Super Bowl. That was in 2008. He's been to another one. That was in 2010, 2011. So it's been a long time since the Steelers have done some damage in the postseason. And could that be coming to an end here? And if it does Tomlin move to the top of the list for Titans fans? Ed on the text line says, after one meeting with Tomlin, I think Amy would offer him part ownership. One texter says, it's going to be Mike Vrabel 2.0, defensive-minded coach, low-scoring ball. Game's going to be – everybody's going to be complaining in 2 years that we're not playing fun football. But you winning is winning. Doesn't matter if it's flashy or if you grind it out. You got to be there at the end to be able to compete for the championship.
Yeah, and look, I hear what people are saying because that's what they've been. It wasn't that long ago. You remember when they had Le'Veon Bell and they had Antonio Brown, those guys rolling? Like, their offense was as fun to watch as an offense in the NFL, period.
Yeah.
Like, so let's also remember that. Like, I mean, again, Vrabel. Oh, it's gonna be like Vrabel. Well, in the 2020 season, the Titans scored 31 points a game, and they were as fun to watch. You know, 2,000-yard running back, a play-action passing game off that, big plays of A.J. Brown. Sorry. So yeah, look at Vrabel's offense now. Mr. Defensive, he's going to have the MVP
fun.
At quarterback. Yeah. And, you know, these coaches, even the defensive coaches, like, if they have good offenses and good offensive players, like, they're good with scoring. Like, they're cool with that, you know? I understand that's what it's been. It's been grindy for the Steelers lately because they just haven't found a quarterback, and they haven't found a great running back either, right? Like, they just – So I think we want to, oh, this is the style of football this guy likes to play. This is, you know, why are the Eagles okay after Andy Reid left? Because they got great players. Was it because Doug Peterson was a great coach? He had a great coaching job in the Super Bowl, but get players. Also get a good coach, Mike Tomlin, if you can.
One texter points out his name is Mike. That does tend to put him on the list around here. A lot of Mikes have come in and out of here at the coaching spot.
That is true. Well, Texter asked for fun. What would the fan media reaction be if the Titans hired Mike McCoy full time?
Well, we have to attend Kuharsky's funeral from a heart attack.
He's adamant that they cannot give him an interview. Like, he's gonna
agree with him.
He's gonna melt down. I think I think whatever. It's a formality. I mean, like, this is of all the things worth melting down about the Titans, like them doing like a solid and just being professional. Sure, Mike, come on in. Let's not get all mad about that.
I'm not going to get mad about it, but
he will.
That's kind of the point. It's a formality and everybody knows it. So if like, even if I'm Mike McCoy, I'd be like, yeah, okay, no thanks. I'm not wasting my time with this. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
I don't know. I think maybe he'll want to have a seat and sit down and have some things to say.
You need to pull the media credential of Paul Kaharsky. This is what you need to do.
You guys are going to know here in about 2 years that you do punt on 4th and 3 every time. 4th and 2 you go, 4th and 3 you punt. That's what we do.
He's not going to get it. If he did get it to the Texas question, that would be an all-time meltdown. I would, you know, there was a pretty substantial meltdown of Mularkey getting that job, right? I mean, that was a very uninspired feeling hire. It's like, right, like you got your rookie QB. Okay, obviously, yeah. The guy who drafted him was a disaster. Get him out of here. Like, then you, Mularkey, yeah?
People weren't overly excited about it, for sure.
But that's still, I mean, way different. He did good things. People are like, okay, this guy's good. And by the way, Mike Mularkey, for people who don't remember, you have to be of a certain age, he used to be called Inspector Gadget because he OC with the Steelers, which would have been with Tomlin, right? Yeah. He was Tomlin's OC.
Yeah.
With Antoine Randall and those guys, man. Yeah. I mean, they had all kinds of trick plays, so, you know. Just saying. I don't know what I'm saying there, but it's just kind of interesting, right? But Mike McCoy is not Mike Mularkey. You are no Mike Mularkey, sir.
Well, I mean, you brought up something earlier. Clearly, they've talked about culture. You know, Mike Tomlin would be about as good of a fit for that as I guess it gets, right? So I tend to be with you. Like, if the time comes this year where they split in Pittsburgh, he's probably going to have several teams that come after him and are interested. I don't know how the Titans are going to fare when it comes to that and where they fall on that list. My guess is probably not very high, but I'd be looking. Like, if he comes available, I'd be making a call if I'm the Titans pretty quickly on that front.
Well, and look, yeah, I don't like your chances, okay? I'm just going to tell you right now. But, yeah, think about how loaded – if it's this loaded, this coaching cycle, with really attractive candidates, I mean, that just – automatically means you might have access to someone you or otherwise would not have. I mean, I'm with Kaharsky on the Stefanski thing. If that happens to unfold, I think also he would be. I think he's done a pretty good job under some pretty freaking bad circumstances there with the Browns. The guy who's taking aim at the Titans this weekend, a game that we hopefully will not break down for 1 second of the entire week. But
we're going to do it here in a minute. We're going to get hot and heavy into it just for you.
Oh, crap. I spoke too soon. But he's a guy, obviously. The Harbaugh thing, that one's hard for me to buy. Although you can look at it the same way. Like, well, you know, had some great success in the past, had some great teams that totally blew it in the postseason. Great tenure. Maybe it's time to move. I mean, at some point that may happen. I highly doubt we're going to get that and Stefanski and Tomlin all in the same year. If that did happen, you know, you'd really have some prime candidates there in your search if you're the Titans. And you'd probably have to rethink a lot of the work you've been doing on people like Jesse Minter.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you brought up somebody earlier that we've not really talked about at all that has been the head coach of a Super Bowl winning team. And that is Doug Peterson. I know that the last time out didn't go great for him in Jacksonville. It is Jacksonville, right? And I understand that his replacement doing a pretty good job right now. So does that just totally take him off the list if you're the Titans? How it went in Jacksonville?
I don't know. I don't think it's – I mean, I think it's worth a discussion. If you're going to have a discussion about like Shula and Minter and some of these people who, you know, who have not really – you know, obviously have not been head coaches, have not proved a ton. Why wouldn't you have a conversation about a coach who has been a head coach at multiple places and has won a Super Bowl? And by the way, again, I think that might be the best coach game I've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like the aggression and the creativity that it required to beat Tom Brady. I mean, great job by Brady. Got some great stats, empty stats, and another Super Bowl loss. But But yeah, that was a pretty impressive. I mean, it was a while ago, but yeah, why would he be? Why would you not talk about that guy? I know people don't get excited when you hear it, but it's like, okay, but you're excited about Mike McCarthy,
right? No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there he's come up some from some conversations I've seen with Titans fans, but not a whole lot, right? Because and I know why. He was just the coach of one of your division rivals, and it went very poorly. So I get it. I understand why. But he has, you know, at different times in his career proven to be a pretty good coach, and he's out there and he's available. I'm just saying, like, if you're looking for head coaching experience and guys who have won in this league, he would have to be on the list somewhere.
Yeah, and obviously I think it's a big list. They've had a lot of time here.
They have.
So
hopefully you've used it well.
Yeah, but again, then if a Tomlin happens, right? Yeah, that's the thing. You also have to. You just don't know exactly what all is going to take place. We know Black Monday in the NFL.
Yep.
There's always at least one or two that take you by surprise, too. Right? I mean, almost always. There's at least one that you didn't see coming. So you also have to, and then that can change the order of things pretty quickly. But. Yeah, I found Breer's report interesting, you know, and I understand the idea of, you know, you want, if you can find that young coordinator who you feel like maybe you just got ahead of the curve. I mean, that's kind of like when you have this extra time, I mean, you can really, really dig in on people, and maybe it's like, you know what, someone's going to, in 2-3 years, this is going to be a great coach. I don't care about winning the press conference. Let's get that person now. And then I also think back to when they hired Brian Callahan, and it was like, man, look at great job, Titans. Look what you did here. You beat other teams that wanted Brian Callahan.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Tomorrow's college football game of the week, number 2 Indiana versus number 1 Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game on 94.9 The Fan. At 7 o'clock. Coverage presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Go to the doctor for Proctor.
Can I help you?
Yeah, Dr. Cosmo Kramer, proctology.
Oh, okay. Sure, doctor.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good day.
We love we ass, okay?
If you don't want your quarterback to see a doctor, draft Caden Proctor.
That's better than mine.
2026.
That's better than mine.
Ass man. No, these don't belong to me. I'm not the ass man. I think there's been a mistake.
We ass, we in. We love we ass.
Ass man. I'll give him ass, man!
Oh, my God. My ass is burning.
She does not disrobe anywhere near me.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. You can check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joe, the floor is yours. I don't even know where to go from there.
I don't really either. Like, when Ian does something like that, I feel like maybe I should shift to, like, a hemorrhoid rant or something. You know what I mean? Just to, like, keep the theme going. But I don't.
I want the Titans to draft Caden Proctor again now. Let's spend a lot of time talking about that.
I know. I forgot that when the initial thing was said there, I'm like, wait, Proctor? Who's Proctor? But, oh, yeah. Caden Proctor. Yeah. Get another Alabama offensive lineman. It's gone well. Yeah. The all-time Titans Alabama offensive line. Warmack, Latham, and Proctor. Who else?
Yeah, that'd be
anybody
good.
Anybody else in there? Okay. I'm going to hit a few things here, but this is, I guess it's a Friday grab bag. And first of all, like, this is nothing I'm angry about. This is actually something I'm really thrilled about. Matt has been texting, so I do want to give a shout-out to Nashville Junior Preds, Southeast Blades, the Tier 1 Elite Hockey Tournament in Detroit. Good luck, guys. There's my shout-out.
Yes.
And kind of sticking with that, I was very fortunate a couple weeks ago to meet Jaden Bailey. And, you know, all due respect to my Nolensville Knights Friday is for nights. You know, the Lebanon Blue Devils are my adopted favorite team now. Jaden Bailey, my favorite player, 16-year-old junior for Lebanon, forward. And I was able to write a story on him. Paul Scribina did a great story on him at the Tennessean. Everybody should do a story on him. He's been battling cancer since 2022. He's 16 years old. He got his left arm amputated in August, which was a huge relief for him because the cancer was overwhelming in that arm. It was just basically dragging around. He's out there catching and shooting. It's amazing to watch him play basketball. He's an effective basketball player. He lives life with joy. He was told about a year ago that hospice needed to come in and that the cancer had spread to his lungs and that he had very little time to live. Here he is bawling right now. He was told on October 5th, hospice needs to come in. You got a very short time to live. He's, you know, people at school thought he had 2 weeks left. He's bawling right now, okay? And with joy. And he's a hero to me. He should be a hero to anybody. He's meeting Kentucky today. Kentucky Gonzaga play tonight. He's going to go to Kentucky's practice. The University of Kentucky Sports Network did a feature on him. They're going to talk about him tonight on the broadcast. And so all media, if anybody around here is listening, you know, TV stations or anything, like go meet him and do a story on him. He's an incredible inspiration. I'm very lucky to have met him and just going to be rooting for him. And I'm just so excited that he gets experiences like this. He got to go to North Carolina actually last year and meet those guys. He's a Tar Heels fan. So plays for the Blue Devils, roots for the Tar Heels. But Jaden Bailey, just he can't be talked about enough, and I'm so excited that he's going to get this this spotlight tonight. Yep. So there's that. I was going to actually use this to yell about Mike Florio. I guess we should throw a quick conversation out about Mike Florio. Have you seen this whole thing with this Pittsburgh
stuff? I've seen some of it. Yes.
I don't know, Mike. You know, he's fine on Sunday Night Football. He's kind of like, I guess, in a way, Kaharsky, like, in terms of like judging media, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing wrong with someone who's out there naming names or whatever, or, you know, calling people out. Kaharsky loves to do that, you know. Tom Pelissero.
Oh, another list of your agent friends. Oh, thank you so much.
And then Pekarski makes him a plate of eggs to kiss his butt, and so he unblocks him. But Florio kind of does that stuff. But this week, you know, Aaron Rodgers says whatever about people not going to workouts. He made some comment. And Florio makes this big deal, you know, then he had a next availability. No Pittsburgh media even asked a follow up, which of course would be a terrible thing. That would be a huge indictment of the and of course, you know. So then the responses to that are, oh yeah, media, they're soft, blah blah blah. Well, Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN, asked exactly the question, exactly the right question, made Aaron Rodgers squirm. He sort of changed his answer. It was exactly like it's exactly what you're supposed to do. Like, okay, so what did you mean by this? And then he sort of changed his story, whatever. But the point is, Mike Florio was totally wrong. And the thing is, people make mistakes. You miss stuff. It's okay. So just say, my apologies. I missed this. No, can't do it. Can't do it. Just can't have the decency to just be like, oh yeah, my bad. I miss it. People miss stuff all the time. It's okay. He can never be wrong, is what it seems like to me from afar. And so now he's getting dunked on for it way more than if he said, oh, yeah, my bad. Sorry, I didn't see that you asked that question. So now, great. I guess if you're him, people talk about you more. We're talking about him now. Why else would we be talking about him? So congratulations. I had one more, too. Wait, what else was I going to? Oh, yeah. Ian, do you have that? Do you have that audio? I'm sorry.
Yes, I do.
I'm so sorry. All right. So we ripped on the Penn State coaching search yesterday, and it deserves Pat Kraft. Oh my goodness!
Nice job.
You fired a guy in October, and the guy you fired is making fun of you by ordering crumble cookies to his recruiting signing day press conference. Everybody else is hiring these coaches, but Penn State might saved the day with Matt Campbell of Iowa State. Matt Campbell's interesting. He's done really well there, but also it's like every year it's kind of disappointing. Like they never get over the hump. That, as you pointed out earlier, Robbie, you know, he has said that this year that he had the toughest schedule in the country, and it was like UNLV and, you know.
It's amazing he didn't get fired.
Kansas State. But I just thought, for if you're a Penn State fan listening, I want you to hear this is your, maybe, your next coach.
How do you, as a coach, view goals? Because at the beginning of the season, you, your players, the goal was Big 12 championship.
Oh, not me. That was never my goal. Okay. My goal has always been one thing, and that's to become the best version of ourselves we can become. So you've never heard me say that word once. You've only heard me talk about becoming the best version of yourself you can be. And really, my challenge for this year's team was to become the greatest together team in the history of Iowa State football. And so far, all of our goals are still intact from a Coach Campbell standpoint. Now, could our players have other goals and aspirations? Sure. Do I want them to have great goals and aspirations? Sure. But that's not Coach Campbell's goal. That was never said by me.
So here's the follow-up. I don't know what was – that was a tweet, so we use it. The desperately needed follow-up is, okay, is this the best version of yourself, 8-4? Did you meet your goal or not? Is this the best version of yourself? The most together team. Well, we lost some games, but we are so together. I mean, there's some Butch Jones vibes coming
off. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say, man. I'm having some flashbacks. Good grief. That was rough.
I mean, that was very much like the Champions of Life commentary.
That may disqualify him if I'm a Penn State fan. That's awful.
It's okay as a coach to say, like, we want to win, and we want to win championships. That's what you're supposed to. That's why you get hired, why you get paid, and then when you don't, you get fired. That's
also referring to yourself as Coach Campbell, which is also just very funny. That's, you never heard Coach Campbell say that. That's you.
Coach Campbell's getting upset. Jimmy's not happy. Bring it back to Seinfeld.
Look, maybe he does deserve a lot of credit. 8-4 with the self-proclaimed toughest schedule in America. That's good stuff.
Why aren't they in the playoff? I mean, the toughest schedule in America at 8-4, that doesn't deserve consideration.
Never mind. They lost to Colorado this year, but you know, there is that.
Good God, did they?
Yeah, they did.
But they're very together.
They
are. There's still the version of themselves is a very together version.
Well, Teron Davenport.
We are!
Without a coach, Teron Davenport coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and Browns with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.